Are you searching for a deeper understanding of yourself and your place in the world? Do you yearn for more balance, more peace, and purpose in your life? Well, look no further than the Intuitive Revolution Podcast, your trusted source for holistic insights and intuitive guidance. I'm your host, Alicia Ferricelli, and I am ready to take you on a journey to inner peace and balanced well-being. Welcome back to the Intuitive Revolution Podcast. I am super, super excited to introduce you to my friend and guest, Caroline Peters. Caroline, after a traumatic childhood event, struggled with years with anxiety and depression. To alleviate her suffering, she began her journey of seeking meaning, purpose, and hope in life. After a decade of exploring astrology, the tarot, and other tools of spiritual and psychological development, Caroline created her astrology and life coaching business, White Wolf Mystic. Thanks to her own healing process, Caroline now empowers others through her coaching sessions to better understand who they are, why they are here, and how they can integrate life's challenges to achieve their soul's highest potential and fulfillment. Let's welcome Caroline. Thank you so much, Caroline, for coming out and speaking with us today about all the things you know about astrology and, of course, intuition, intuitive readings. I call you a master of astrology and intuitive readings. Give me a little bit of background about your story and how you got started.
Yes. Well, firstly, thank you so much for having me on your podcast, Alicia. I've listened to a number of your episodes and I'm a big fan of the work that you are putting out there.
Appreciate that.
So how I got started into astrology, I believed it was, you know, in college when I started noticing these patterns with different zodiac signs. But if I look back further to my childhood, I was, you know, so full of life and playful and confident and gregarious. And then a number of events happened in my life, which kind of shifted my path. My best friend died when I was 11 years old. That was incredibly shocking to me as a young person. In high school, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. So I kind of view those events as like the candle burning out, because I had so much hope and belief in magic as a child. But then in my adolescence and young adulthood, I struggled a lot with depression. I felt like, you know, terrible things happen in the world. Our loved ones could die at any moment. And it just turned into this more bleak kind of grief. And it was in my 20s that I was really trying to figure out how to overcome this depression, how to navigate life, how to have hope in life, and to feel that life could be good. So I found astrology. Astrology not only helped me to find hope in the future, it also showed me the context of my life path, why I was navigating some difficult, heavy things, what that meant for my soul, and how I was learning and evolving. And so that gave me a context for my suffering. It put some meaning to the suffering, and it also gave it a purpose. I'm here for a purpose. There's a reason. So that was really the most concrete aspect of like, okay, this astrology worked. It was a powerful existential tool for me to make sense of my life and to give me that guidance towards the future. And then of course, you know, I wanted to help other people to do the same. So that's kind of how my astrology journey began.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about how you're helping other people now.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, the biggest thing that I do in my sessions is validating a human being's individual expression and their life experience. It's not uncommon for, you know, me to kind of share what I see in the chart and for people to break down in tears because they feel seen. They feel like, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy for being this way, for thinking this, for wanting this. So that's really the most important thing that I can do is validate a human being at the level of their soul. But also, again, helping to give them that meaning and purpose in the context of their life. Oftentimes I'll look at what's currently unfolding for them. I'll share, you know, what this indicates in terms of their life path and the lessons that they're here to work on. And then it's, you know, oh, this is happening for me. This isn't just chaos that's happening to me. And so when we can put it in that context, then we're no longer the victims of life circumstance. We're in the driver's seat and we get to decide how we're going to allow life circumstances to affect us, how we're going to respond. So there's a lot of empowerment as well, I think, in what I do.
Yeah, putting people in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit. So when people think about astrology, they're thinking like psychics and mediums and all this reading too. Go into a little more depth about what astrology is and how people can incorporate that and personally into their lives.
Absolutely. So looking at the bigger picture, this is kind of what I teach my clients when they come in, especially those that are new to astrology. The way I explain it is that we are souls having a human experience. We come to Earth for a reason. Earth is a school for us. So even our birth date, the time that we choose to incarnate, right? There's no such thing as accidental births, not when it comes to the soul, right? We choose precisely the moment that we come here. Our birth chart is the coordinates for where we are arriving and which family at which time. And it also shows, okay, what is the soul learning? So astrology is looking at the alignments of the planets, you know, a solar system. I always explain to people, it's called a solar system for a reason. It's a system. These planets are moving about on the Earth, guiding us in our path, not just for our own individual journeys as well. We are all here for collective purposes to help evolve the consciousness of humanity, as well as the consciousness of the universe. And as the planets are moving and shifting, they're affecting life on Earth. They're affecting how the crops grow. They're affecting the cycles. So we're all a part of something bigger. So that's kind of where I begin with people, is looking at the soul's journey and why we're here. And we're here to learn. And I forget what the other part of your question was.
How can people start incorporating?
Or incorporating astrology. Okay. When it comes to incorporating astrology in your day-to-day life, of course, looking at the birth chart is a powerful tool for self-awareness, for psychoanalysis. You can look at your chart, whether you're interested in just studying it on your own or with an astrologer, to understand, okay, what are my gifts? What are my skills? What are the challenges? You know, people will experience these repeat patterns in relationships or in their life and work. And so, okay, what is the function of this pattern? Why is this pattern manifesting? So you can look at the chart for that. But then there's also the transits. So the planetary transits are the current movement of the planets in the sky. So that is creating the energy that we're in. Today is a new moon, right? Today is a new moon in Sagittarius. So that is creating this energy of looking at things more philosophically, wanting to look at the bigger picture, right? It's a perfect day for this podcast episode. So looking at the energy or the cosmic weather, so to speak, but then looking at the transits as they align to your chart, what are the activations happening right now? So I always like to ask people, you know, what are the invitations of this present moment? What's coming up for you? What's coming up in your relationships? What's coming up for you at work? These are the invitations to grow in self-awareness. So looking at the patterns of astrology that way, as creating that meaning and purpose behind what's currently happening.
Yeah. And so taking it more from a current present standpoint than predicting the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely like to distinguish, you know, I'm not a psychic. I'm not here to tell you exactly what's going to happen. Even if I could see exactly what's going to happen, I wouldn't want to tell you, because I'd be robbing you of your agency, right? I am here to be a guide to help you navigate life, but you're still the one driving. So the great thing about astrology, though, is I can look at cycles of time. I can see when certain invitations will arise. You know, if someone's looking for a deep relationship, I can look at when relationship will be activated. I can look at when this current cycle is going to end. So you can see, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? If you're in a really heavy time in your life, if things are just, if you're feeling stuck, you're feeling lost, I can tell you when that will shift. So that is the great thing about astrology, is there is some ability to look at the future in terms of how long am I in this cycle for? But the rest is just being present and allowing things to unfold and looking for the invitations and looking at, okay, what can I do? How can I influence this situation?
Yeah. So it's not really sitting back and saying, oh, this is going to happen to me. It's like, there's the energetic time to take place. So it's kind of like when we manifest things.
Mm-hmm.
So we go into, or like, we ask for something and then just expect it to magically appear.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work that way. It works, we ask for it, but we also have to take the steps to let the universe know that we're really serious about it. So
right.
The way that I kind of see astrology is working with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when to start doing things. But if you just sit back and expect things to happen to you,
right,
even though the energy is growing around, doesn't necessarily mean. What's your thoughts on that?
Right. So yes, when it comes to manifesting, I mean, if someone's really yearning for a change in their career, if they're really ready for that relationship, there's always a reason. Anytime somebody comes to me and they're ready for something, it's because they're feeling the gravitational pull of the planet that is approaching that area of life. So even in that sense, our desires are never just random. There's a reason why they're being manifested within us. However, what I often witness is that before a period of growth or achievement or, you know, meeting that person or getting that job, there's often a phase right before that that feels like stuck, like lost, uncertainty that always precedes that next moment. And people always want to know, I hate feeling this. I hate this uncertainty. It's uncomfortable. I hate feeling so stuck. I hate, you know, that's a strong word, but that is what people express. And so instead of just saying, oh, let's hurry up and get to that thing that I want, I try to explain that they're in this cycle for a reason. It's kind of like the threshold between two doorways. It's the liminal space. It's the space in between where we're kind of suspended between the desire and the actualization of the desire. And that liminal space has a strong purpose. And so before you can manifest that ideal relationship or that career change, this period of feeling lost and stuck, it's there for a reason for your soul to ask the big important questions, such as, what is it that I really want? What is it that I don't want? Why am I feeling this pain and suffering? What is this teaching me? And so it's the reflective state. It's the more inward processing state. And we can't arrive at that manifestation until we've extracted the gold from that suffering, from that uncertainty, from that fear. That's what gets us to the manifestation. So I try to explain that to people when they come in and they say, oh, I'm feeling lost or stuck. I'm like, great. That's a great place to be. You're on the brink of success, my friend.
Yes. It's amazing how when you start shifting your perspective towards, you know, you have to, if we were given every single thing in life just handed to us, we would not appreciate it. We wouldn't really know what to do with it.
Exactly.
So it's like the blessings to me are really in the journey and the challenges that arrive throughout it and the lessons that you learned. I mean, it's great to say, I'm going to manifest $2 million next year. Mm-hmm. $2 million rains down. I'm going to be like, I don't know what to do with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know what, actually I do know what to do with it, but it's because but it's like the journey to get there is just so much more beautiful when you see mm-hmm. the struggles and you see the growth and the changes that you've made to it to make it worthwhile.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another example I like to give, you know, let's say you're training as an Olympic athlete, right? For the Olympics. If I were to come in and tell you, you know, someone comes to me and asks, am I going to win the gold medal? Well, if I were to tell you, yes, you'll win the gold medal. Well, would you train as hard? Yeah. Would it be as meaningful and rewarding? Chances are, if I told you that you would, you'd train less hard and then you would not manifest that outcome. Yeah. So we can't always know the outcome of the end of the story, because then we wouldn't do the work. Same thing with the relationship. People come to me and they want to know, is this relationship going to work out? Are they my soulmate? Well, if I were to tell you, yes, it will work out, then you might kick up your feet on the sofa and be like, okay, we're locked in. I don't have to work at this. You know, I don't have to worry about fights. It'll be fine. Well, you're not going to learn anything. You're not going to gain emotional intelligence. You're not going to learn the important relationship skills that lead to a lasting and successful connection. So
yeah, not going to have that bond.
It's like not going to have that bond.
It's like you're building bonds with what you're wanting in life throughout mm-hmm. the entire process. And it would just make you so stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I can look at the chart and say, well, this is the invitation of this connection. This is what you're learning from it. This is what you're teaching each other. Sit in that. And if it feels right for you, you know, learn and grow from that and let go of the outcome. Trust in the process.
Trust the process and sit with that. Yes. That's intuition.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit, because you know that's my baby there. Yeah. I love intuition.
Yes.
Which is what the podcast is about. Mm-hmm. Tell me what intuition means to you.
Ooh, intuition to me is that inner guidance that points us in the right direction, the right people, the right places, the right choices, to help us along our path. What I've learned from intuition is that it's not always leading you to a person, place, or circumstance that's going to last forever, or that will work out the way you think. It's always leading you to the next thing that will grow you and evolve you in meaningful ways. And I learned that the hard way myself. When I met my first husband, my intuition was so strong to marry this person. I just knew he was the next phase of my own growth. And then our relationship lasted like 3 years and it dissolved so quickly. And I went through this period of doubt, like, oh no, I can't trust my intuition. I can't trust myself. Look at what happened. But then my intuition responded to me, no, I never said it was going to last forever. I said this person was important for the next level of your growth. So looking at intuition that way, it's not a guarantee we're not going to suffer. It's not a guarantee that we won't ever experience uncertainty. It's only ever guiding us to that next step that we need to take. Yeah. And oftentimes that's the only step that will give us is the next one. It's not going to give us the next five, the next 10. No.
Because if we knew the next 10, we would skip to the 10.
Right. Yeah.
We wouldn't even go down the steps.
Exactly.
We're like, well, forget this. Let's go to the next one. And again, we won't appreciate it.
Exactly.
I know myself too well that I would do that. I shouldn't. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I kind of view intuition as the universe spoon feeding us whatever we need to feel confident or empowered in that moment in time, and never more than that. Because oftentimes we think we want the answer, but we're not actually ready for the entire answer or to see how things will play out, or we don't have the capacity to fully comprehend the bigger meaning behind that. So the universe just gives us one bite at a time to nudge us along.
Yeah. Little bitty baby steps.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Till we become a toddler.
So I know you've probably spoken about this already on your episodes, but I would love to hear more about how did that manifest for you, right? What was meaningful for you in your journey to discovering your intuition? Where did you experience any self-doubt or have to recalibrate as well? Because intuition is never a perfect thing that we get and then we got it and then we're done. It's a process, right?
I have always had it inside of me. I just ignored it. As everyone has, but I really, sure. I was like, I didn't trust myself, and it was based upon my, you know, personal upbringing of black and white.
Mm-hmm.
There's no like gray areas there. You don't really trust yourself. You trust a certain book
mm-hmm.
to go back to you. We'll just leave it at that. And mm-hmm. if that doesn't resonate with you, then you're wrong. Mm. So that really started off my intuition of like a thing of like intuition is nothing but a fantasy of people who are not in, you know, living like they're supposed to be, and goes into all the stuff. Didn't realize it was a tool that was given to me from the God I was serving.
Mm-hmm.
It was already inside of me. And then just going through the same thing, I married someone knowing I shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. The whole time I like intuition's like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. We're married almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And intuitively, I knew it was time to go.
Mm-hmm.
I knew intuitively I couldn't do it, but I didn't know it was my intuition talking to me.
Sure.
I didn't resonate that. And then I just throughout the process of that, my intuition was telling me, in order to go to your next step, you have to let this stuff go. You have to let this life go. You're going to go through suffering. You're going to mm-hmm. go through major trauma through all this.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to come out on a much more beautiful place.
Yes.
Intuitively got me to St. Pete. Intuition got me here. Still mm-hmm. didn't know. I was just like, something inside me is like, I just call the gravitational pull.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a gravitation, almost a pull inside of me that I realize it's like, that's the big, huge, like, heck yes, go for that mm-hmm. and do that.
Yes.
And that. So it's really just listening and being like, what feels good for me? What feels right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was growing up taught feelings are nothing. It's not about your feelings. It's not about that. It's about, again, black and white, right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taken years to really, you know, and then being doing it, like I've been in sales, been in big business, and then, you know, you get told, don't go into your feelings. Don't listen to other, like read other people's feelings and convince them they don't mm-hmm. feel this way,
mm-hmm.
which is so wrong when you think about it. So it's like a lot of unconditioning that got me to really trusting my intuition. I'm like, this is the best guidance I've ever had. And it has gotten me everything that I need at the time. Maybe not what I wanted,
mm-hmm.
but everything I've needed.
I love that.
It's just, you know, now you look like going and looking at challenge, like looking at things like your intuition is like, yes, this is where you need to go. It's going to be difficult. It's exciting because I know that that's the guiding. It's going to be such a beautiful, you know, it's like planting a garden. I think you're going to have this beautiful like flower or vegetable garden that you can, it just nourishes you. Yeah.
And I think having that reflection of looking back on when your intuition was communicating with you and what was the difference, how did it feel? Because hindsight is 2020, right? I think the thing that gets in the way of intuition is often our ego, our fear, our need to be in control, or our feeling that we are supposed to be in control. And looking back at it and saying, oh, okay, that was the voice versus the voice of fear. So that self-reflection is really important. And for me, a lot of the intuitive work that I do with clients is learning, you know, when I go into that meditation and I go in to retrieve the information for their soul, it is a practice of calming my ego down, right? Because the ego always wants to interject in the beginning. It has its own idea of what I think I should say. And it's like learning to relax the ego, to calm it down, to say, okay, I understand you're concerned and there's fears coming up and I'm going to listen to you. I'll let you have your say. But right now in this moment, we're connecting with our intuition, with our creativity, with our authenticity. You're going to take a back seat. And then later I'll bring you back in and you can share your feedback if you want, but you're not in the driver's seat.
Yep. Ego, go. Yeah. It's almost like you treat it like it's a little child that just sits around and like you have to give it a little attention.
Well, oftentimes it is.
Some good things to say sometimes, you know, like that you at least you can tune into, but you at least have to know that it's not the truth most of the
time. Well, I feel that the ego is the accumulation of our life experiences that caused us pain. So it is our inner child, right? If we experience rejection growing up, or if we, you know, made a huge mistake, or if we experience pain or suffering, I view the ego as connected to the human body. The soul and intuition is the eternal body. And so the human body and the ego is always going to act out of its own self-preservation. And so it wants to avoid pain and suffering. It wants to avoid growth because growth is often painful, right? We're expanding our sense of self. So it's always going to speak towards preventing us from going and doing anything that would cause fear, pain, or suffering. So, but it is usually derived from experiences that we've had. So as I'm sure you've experienced, you know, having been in a marriage, you know, I also have had, I don't like to call them failed marriages, but through a marriage experience, right? Exactly. Meaningful life lessons. Yeah. Learning to navigate the fear that comes up when dating someone new, right? When entering into a new relationship. Oh, well, but this didn't work out. And, you know, that fear voice is trying to avoid that same repeat mistake, and looking at it as like, nope, I'm a resilient human being. And yes, I can learn from what happened there. I can grow from that so that I don't repeat certain things, but I'm not going to let the fear associated with that past pain be making the choices and calling the shots in my life. Right. So it is an important voice, and that it is the voice of your past fear and your past pain, and we can show it empathy and compassion. That's one of the quickest ways to get it to be quiet, is to just show it love and compassion. So
give it a little attention. Let it know that you haven't forgot about it.
Yeah. It's okay. I understand you're scared, but I'm here and I'm brave and we can do this.
Yes, absolutely. So we are filming this on 12/12, which is such a magical number.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about what significance in numbers are.
Yes, I love numerology. I kind of view numbers as the computer code of the universe. You know, we'll see repeat numbers during a time when we're moving into transition or something significant is about to happen, or maybe we're just moving into a new phase. The repeat numbers often are communications to us that we're, you know, moving along the right path. I do incorporate sometimes numerology into my astrology readings as well, but there are certain numeric portals, we call them, like the 5/5 portal, that's May 5th, the 9/9 portal, that's September 9th. And of course the 8/8 portal, that's the Lionsgate, the 12/12. So numerology, we look at these different cycles. Usually it's nines that are the completion of a cycle in numerology, but 12s are also considered a sacred number of completion. We see the number 12 in a lot of different spiritual texts and things like that, right? Jesus and the 12 apostles. So 12 is that cycle of completion. We're completing out the year, we're completing whatever phase that we're in and moving into a new phase. So the 12-12 portal is this time of review. And of course, people just naturally know to do that in the 12th month, right, of the year. We're looking at the review of the year. I think today is super extra sacred because there's also this new moon in Sagittarius.
I'm glad you're addressing this.
Yes. So we're looking at, you know, Sagittarius is all about how we find truth and meaning in the world. And the interesting thing about Sagittarius is that Sagittarius recognizes that there is no one ultimate truth. Truth is subjective based on the individual, what they see through their eyes, what they've lived through and experienced. So we're living in a time where things are becoming increasingly polarized. There is one truth, and I know what it is, and you're wrong. And I'm going to attack you for that. This is the world we're living in politically, ideologically. And so this new moon on this 12-12 portal is an invitation to look at how we define truth. And for me, Sagittarius represents that voice of conscience, right? Our conscience. It's our inner moral compass. So Sagittarius is the traveler, the freedom seeker, the philosopher. And so for Sagittarius, it's a journey towards aligning with what is ultimately morally and ethically correct. So the ego might say, no, this is truth. This is, I'm right, you're wrong. But instead, today's invitation is to look at the higher expression of Sagittarius wisdom and the 12-12 wisdom and to say, you know, what is true for me in my heart? And is there really just one truth? Or am I being invited here to be more loving and compassionate, to understand people's different perspectives and to ask them questions? You know, how did you come to that perspective? What life experiences shaped that for you? What is meaningful for you? And that is what Sagittarius is ultimately seeking, is meaning and purpose, and using that as the navigation system for life. One kind of parable I love to share, the Buddhist parable of the raft that gets us across the river. We know we need to cross to the other side, and we have this raft here available. But once we get to the other side, we don't continue to drag that heavy raft along with us, right? It can become a burden. So recognizing when truth or a belief system gets us across the river, and when it's no longer serving us. So being willing to let go of what we think we know, that's the ultimate wisdom, is surrendering our knowing, and instead seeking the deeper meaning and aligning with that inner conscience.
That to me is the definition of freedom.
Mm.
When you are so open to not just having to, people want to know the truth, but be open to, there's multiple truths. Mm-hmm. There's multiple ways, and the curiosity brings about, curiosity to me is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
When you're curious about things and you're open about things and you're like, and you leave behind the baggage, leave behind the old ways of thinking, that's such freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to explain that to someone until they've actually experienced it.
Yes. Well, it's the acquisition of wisdom. You know, you can recognize that this belief really did serve me at this time in my life. But now that same belief is preventing me from growing. And it's the same with self-preservation mechanisms, right? Certain patterns that we repeat in our relationships may be a manifestation of our early upbringing. We may have learned, like you learned, to suppress the intuition, suppress the emotion in exchange for love, acceptance, and connection, because those were the social contracts of your childhood, right? But you came to a point in your adulthood where you recognize, oh, that's not serving me anymore. It was serving me then for whatever reason, you know, so that I could connect with my family and not constantly create conflict. But as an adult, it's not serving you anymore. So recognizing when we can, yes, like you said, always remain curious and be willing to let go of beliefs, ideologies, patterns that aren't serving us in our growth anymore. That's the ultimate goal of Sagittarius, ruled by Jupiter. It's all about constantly expanding, constantly growing, constantly getting that higher and higher perspective, looking down below and seeing that bigger picture, zooming out from the me, my, this is my world, to this is the bigger world. This is all of us here together sharing the space. What are we all doing here? We're here together. We're not here separate.
That point right there was worth the podcast. We are all together and we're not separate. Because as you kind of mentioned before, it's like such a polarized, we're so polarized now. Mm-hmm. My view is the only right way, instead of being coming together in unity, mm-hmm. and just accepting and loving, no matter if we agree or not.
Even still, the polarity serves a purpose, right? We're all players in this big world game. So sometimes it takes extreme contrast for us to wake up and realize what matters most. As long as we move through the polarity and we learn from it and we understand what it's teaching us, if we just stay locked into position, then yeah, there's just going to be tension and suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of, we'll see how things, yeah.
We'll get through it. I have faith.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It always is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So cool. Well, tell me a little bit about some of the client stuff you worked with. Of course, full disclosure, you know, like, I'll say this again. So tell me a little bit about some of the clients you've worked with, and how the charts that you've read and the results that they've gotten from that. Mm-hmm. How they implemented that in their lives.
Yeah. So oftentimes, you know, there's so many different expressions of a chart. Oftentimes what I help people with is letting go of the facades and the masks of who they think they should be. So oftentimes I will put someone back on course because they come in wanting to know when they're finally going to feel financial security, and they've been searching for all these jobs and nothing seems to be working. And what I'll see is that they're trying to force things. They keep trying to put themselves in this box of, this is what I should be doing, this is what success looks like, but they're ignoring the inner calling to study energy medicine, or to, you know, work with animals, or to do this thing that, you know, what I explain in the chart, what I see, they're like, yes, I've always thought of doing that. I've always dreamt of this. And so oftentimes it's just giving them permission, yes, to do the things that they love, and to recognize when they're trying to force themselves into a box that they don't fit in and they don't want to be in. So a lot of times it's steering them in the right direction in that way. And other times it's providing the context for life experiences. So for example, I did this intuitive reading for this woman who had a lot of Scorpio, heavy Pluto in her chart, just a lot of, you know, trauma and suffering in her early life. And the vision that I got, and I usually do these intuitive visions before looking at the chart, because I don't want to be influenced. I just want to have a clean slate. So what I saw was this kind of tunnel that she was journeying through. It was like this underwater canal, and there was like graffiti all over the walls. It smelled rank. It was just this like gross and dirty place, kind of like an inner city tunnel. And when she came out onto the other side, there was this beautiful meadow. I mean, it was like the most beautiful, most powerful colors. There was a unicorn there, which I don't see very often in visions. And it was just this completely magical place. And what I was told to share with her was that some places in the universe, in our own spirit, are so magical, so pristine, that the only way to arrive at them is to go through this phase of suffering. It's almost like some places are kept sacred. And so for her, she was arriving at that place in her life where she was recovering the magic and she was, you know, seeing all the beauty, but she could only appreciate it because of the journey that she had to go through, because it was such a sacred, pristine place within her soul that in order to understand and appreciate it, she had to experience the contrast. And for her, that provided her with a lot of relief. Like, okay, like I wasn't, you know, there's a purpose behind why I experienced some of these things. And of course that plays into how she's meant to show up and be of service in the world. And what I'll often see as a pattern with people is that whatever we want to be in this life, how we show up and want to be of service, we will experience the opposite of that in childhood, or we will experience the precise obstacles that will shape our purpose. So someone that becomes a financial coach, they experienced a ton of financial uncertainty in their lives. They may have experienced poverty growing up, and that becomes the puzzle that they must solve for themselves, but then ultimately what they have to give. Someone that becomes a healer or an herbalist, they experience a lot of health issues. Maybe they witnessed a parent or a loved one struggle or suffer with health issues. So placing their life journey in the context of why they're here often helps as well.
Yeah. So what would you tell listeners where would they start? Say they're like, oh, this sounds amazing. Where do I get started to learn about my life chart, my astrology chart?
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for them?
I mean, there's tons of apps now that you can look at your own chart. Astro.com is free. You can input your information there if you're wanting to study and learn the chart. The book I always recommend is Everything You'll Ever Need to Know. I think that's what it's called. The only astrology book you'll ever need. That's what it's called. And it has all the kind of information on the moon signs. You can read that. I know some people have read Chani Nicholas's book, You Were Born for This. That's another one as well. So that kind of self-study. There's also The Pattern is an app that a lot of my clients use. They really love. CoStar is great. The thing with The Pattern is that they'll actually explain, they'll show what they're talking about. Like when I'm saying, you know, step into the day and take risks and be bold today, like they'll show you what they're talking about, which aspects, which planets. Yeah.
I actually use that every morning.
You do? Funny because so many people recommended The Pattern to me that I downloaded it for myself. Now I have my own like software that I use that I look at my chart all the time. Yeah. But so I was like, okay, I'll just try this to see what other people are, you know, how they're benefiting from it. And it's helpful. It sends me these push notifications, like sometimes super tiny minuscule transits that I might not even pay attention to. It'll share with me. So yeah, I'm a big fan as well.
Yeah. It's like all these questions like, oh, I need to like, I really, no matter what day it is, like I need to really dig down deep into that question. And yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
So that's for people that are interested in learning astrology. But even more so than that, let's say, I mean, doing a session with an astrologer, the thing with the apps is they're looking at things kind of piecemeal. It's like we call the cookbook definitions, like moon in Pisces means this, sun in Sagittarius means this, but they're not looking at all the interplay of all the aspects coming together. That's what a human being, a professional astrologer is good for. Yeah. And we also look at the birth chart, but we'll also look at we'll look at progressions. We'll look at solar arc. We'll look at the solar return chart. You know, we look at all these different, you know, to geek out all these different charts. But even more so connecting with, as I mentioned before, the invitations of the present moment, because I am here to help people connect to their higher self, to their soul. Every human being has the capacity to do that. You know, I always like to say my best day in the future will be the day when nobody needs me anymore because they finally found their own path, their own truth, and they're connecting to their soul and to their higher power. Like that would be a day of celebration because that's what I desire for everyone, is to feel connected to that. So what I always like to say is our spiritual path, you know, there's so many different ways we can practice spirituality. We can do yoga. We can sit in a monastery, in a temple on the mountaintop. But the ultimate spiritual journey is whatever is unfolding for you in this moment. How do I know that? Because it's unfolding for you right now in this moment. So yes, learning to meditate, all these things are helpful tools. But if you're in a conflict with your partner, that is your spiritual path right now. How you navigate that. So I always like to say, what is the invitation of the present moment? What might this situation be teaching me? Because as long as I look at it in the context of, oh, this is happening for me so that I can grow. How do I want to show up in this moment? Who do I want to be? What are my values? And what do I want the quality of my life to look like? And so whether you're stuck in traffic and you're getting impatient and the person behind you won't let off the horn, welcome to your spiritual experience. How do you want to navigate that? You know, so learning to connect with your soul and how you show up in your life circumstances, you know, and the ultimate lesson is always, how do we embody love, right? We all have a life purpose, we have a calling, we have dreams, you know, and there's differences between those things. But the ultimate path is learning to be the embodiment of love. How am I going to show up in that way in this situation? Doesn't mean that we don't have people that we need to sever ties with because it's unhealthy. That's, you know, perfectly fine. But how do we send love to people that have hurt us? How do we send love to the person honking the horn behind us? How do we recognize when people are hurting us, they're acting out of their own suffering? So learning to be the embodiment of love from the authentic place of our own soul expression, that is the ultimate spiritual path, the ultimate purpose.
I agree. That's love is it. That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for. And identifying and removing all the blocks and barriers to that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Do you have anything extra you want to add for our listeners?
Oh, I think that was a great place to end it. Just reminding people that they do have the power in their own hands to create the life that they want. Awesome. Yeah.
And of course, we mentioned all these apps, but if you're wanting an in-person reading or you're in St. Petersburg, Tampa area, mm-hmm. or do you do virtual readings as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have clients from across the country and even in other countries that I work with.
Yeah. Her information will be in the show notes. Definitely reach out. She's amazing. You guys will learn so much. So thank you again for being on here. I've learned a lot and I know our reader or I know our subscribers are going to just eat this up.
Thank you so much, Alicia. It was an honor and a pleasure sharing this space with you today.